This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
We're talking on Keeping the Faith today with Professor Edgar Towne from Indianapolis. Ed, can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can, Steve. Hello.
And our topic's going to be the movement in the state of Indiana to abolish the death penalty. And Professor Towne, you're a part of that movement. How did you get involved?
Well, I got involved when I discovered that there were already a group of people in Indianapolis here organizing a group called the Indiana Information Center on the Abolition of Capital Punishment. And that was founded in the year 2000, and I began attending their membership meetings and was eventually elected to their board of directors.
Now, you're a professor of ethics for many years at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis. Is that correct?
Well, I was technically professor of theology.
Theology, but your specialty was ethics?
I regularly taught courses in theology and ethics. And I also taught courses with a physician and cardiologist in medical ethics. And I was also on the medical ethics committee of Methodist Hospital here in Indianapolis. So, yes, ethics and theology have been my two areas.
Tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're emeritus professor now. How long did you teach at CTS?
Well, I've taught at CTS, Christian Theological Seminary, here since 1975. I joined the faculty in 1975 here after being a pastor, senior minister of the Hyde Park Union Church in Chicago.
And your own advanced degree is from Chicago?
Yes, I hold a PhD degree in theology from the University of Chicago Divinity School, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's known to take a long time. How long were you there getting that degree?
that was a 10-year process.
Yes.
It becomes a way of life.
You were one of the faster ones, I think. Now, in terms of the death penalty movement, I noticed that Anna Quinlan had an article in Newsweek called about the death penalty nationwide, and the editors titled it "The Failed Experiment," and she says that Americans still live in one of the few countries that kill people to make clear what a terrible thing killing people is. And in her article, she mentions that last year, four countries in the world accounted for nearly all the executions worldwide, and the four were China, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United States. Those four countries accounted for nearly all the executions. Why is America one of these four countries that is still so rabid about the death penalty?
Well, I think if we knew why, it would be easier to address the problem, because we're all struggling to find ways in which to help the country see the futility and the immorality, frankly, of the death penalty. I noticed that our local newspaper here, the Indianapolis Star, did run Anna Quinlan's article in the paper. I was very glad to see it.
Mm.
But there are nearly two-thirds of the world's nations have abolished the death penalty. And but still, there are 38 states in the United States, plus the federal government and the military, that have the death penalty. And there are 12 states that don't have it in the United States.
Now, tell us about the movement in Indiana, particularly. You're on the board of the group that's trying to abolish the death penalty there. How's it going?
Yeah, we're called the IICACP, and we have debates about our name because it's so hard to manage.
The Indiana Information Center.
On the abolition of capital punishment.
Of capital punishment, all
yeah.
Right.
Well, we are organized. We're a 501(c) organization. We're organized to inform the public about the death penalty and what it means to any society. And we're actually a coalition of groups throughout the state, plus our own membership, who are also opposed to the death penalty. And we're struggling to build an ever larger constituency of members who will be outspoken in their voices against capital punishment in our state. So we have membership meetings monthly on the second Saturday of each month. We meet now at the ACLU of Indiana building on East Washington Street at 1 p.m., and our board meetings are held quarterly at 10 in the morning on the same day.
So people who are interested in learning more or being a part of that movement could join you on the second Saturday of each month at the ACLU of Indiana building.
That's right.
At 1 p.m.
1031 East Washington Street. That's mm-hmm. right.
Now tell me what they would discover there. What do you do?
Well, we discuss, we all usually begin the meeting with what any good news that might have been gone on in the area. And then we deal with items on our agenda. And
tell me some recent good news in the state of Indiana on this issue of abolishing the death penalty.
Well, recent good news is that we recently supported a hearing in behalf of a man on death row in Indiana at Michigan City, Zoa Agona Azania. The state Supreme Court heard an appeal from his attorneys that the state be enjoined from any further effort to impose the death penalty. Our state Supreme Court has set aside the death penalty on a previous occasion, and the state continues to try to resentence him. And there was a large group of people in support of Zolo at the in the Supreme Court chambers last Tuesday of this week, and we held a press conference in the rotunda of the State House and heard from his attorney, and we feel that there is real hope that he will be spared a further death sentencing hearing.
Now, I don't know about that case personally. Is he on death row because he killed someone?
Well, the question is whether he did or not. Evidence has turned up that certain witnesses have indicated contradictory evidence, but those witnesses are now deceased, and there's no opportunity to cross-examine them.
I see.
And so there's a real question whether he did commit this murder. Another person has been sentenced in connection with the murder. It was the murder of an officer in Lake County, Indiana, in 1980. And that person is received a sentence of life imprisonment without possibility of parole, and it doesn't seem just to try to impose the death penalty on Zolo, considering that fact.
I think many people are concerned with people who end up on death row who later it's discovered that they're innocent. And in Anna Quinlan's article in Newsweek, she points out that since 1976, there have been more than 1,000 people executed in the U.S., But during that same period, more than 123 death row inmates have been exonerated, have been shown to be innocent, even though they had been judged guilty before.
That seems to be a pattern in the situation. We've had two men in Indiana who, after having received the death penalty, after subsequent trials, were acquitted at new trials. There was a case in Lake County in 1978, and a case in Allen County, which is Fort Wayne, in 1983. So we know that it's a real possibility that innocent people will be executed. And of course, your former governor brought our attention to that very vividly in the way that he commuted sentences on the Illinois death row.
In the state of Illinois, it was particularly egregious, the number of people who were found innocent to have been on death row. When I was in Raleigh as a campus minister, the state prison for North Carolina, one of the state prisons, was in Raleigh, and that's where many people were on death row. And during the 70s, when I was there, it was a particularly obvious that there was a racial slant in terms of the people who were convicted and given the death penalty, not only in the South, but in the North as well, with many more African-Americans and other people of color given death sentences in proportion to white folks. That has changed some in the last 30 years, thankfully, but is that still a concern?
Well, I think the racial situation is continues to be of that nature. In Indiana, the racial statistics for Indiana's death row mirror those of much of the nation's folks on death row in across the nation. The overwhelming majority of those under a death sentence in Indiana were sentenced to death for killing white victims, 80% of those people. And that doesn't seem to be the case with sentencing in regard and charging in regard to persons who murder African-American victims, black victims.
Now, many people who hear about the innocent people who are on death row are concerned about that, but your group is also against the death penalty, even in cases where the person may be a murderer. Is that correct?
Yes, we believe in the abolishing of the death penalty. We have various members of the group have different ways of going at that, but we do support the abolition of the death penalty for moral reasons, for reasons of fairness, for reasons we've just discussed about the unfairness of the way in which it is administered in this country. And yes, we're definitely for its abolition.
Let me give listeners a chance to join this conversation with Professor Edgar Towne, who is Professor Emeritus of Theology and Ethics at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis. This show is heard in both Indiana and Illinois, and we invite listeners in both states to participate by asking questions or making comments, presenting a different perspective. All we ask is that you not take too long so that we let our guest have most of the airtime. Anywhere the program is heard, if it's a long-distance call, you may punch in 1-800-222-9455. 1-800-222-WILL, the call letters of the station here at the University of Illinois. In Champaign-Urbana, if it's a local call, use one of our local lines, 333-9455, 333-WILL if you're calling from the Champaign-Urbana area. Ed, in terms of your group's concern with the death penalty, how do you try to educate people about the issue?
Well, we publish a quarterly newsletter called The Indiana Abolitionist, and we try to distribute that in a way that it can be used by our members to influence other people. We also conduct a monthly poster protest at the State House every third Thursday from 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. We are on the State House curbside and steps where a great number of people pass by at that time of day. And we have speakers. We will provide speakers for programs at churches and other organizations we'd like to learn more about our work. And we do tabling and workshops at other events around the city.
If people would like to contact you to arrange a speaker or some of these, learn more about these things, how may they do that?
Well, they do that. I've got to get my
I didn't know if there was a telephone number or a website or at least a mailing address.
I know it.
That could be used.
Well, let me dig that out for you because I just don't have it right.
All right. Well, while you're finding that, we do have a caller on line number one. Let's
okay. Good.
Let's go to our caller. Yes, you're on the air on Keeping the Faith. We're talking with Professor Ed Towne.
Hello.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Obviously, a show that concerns religious matters. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask a religious question of the guest or a theological question. And that is that there are, of course, many people in the United States who are in favor of the death penalty, and many of them are Christians. And I guess what I'd like to ask your guest is what seemed to him... let me put it this way. If you were... in front of someone who was a Christian and also believed in the death penalty, are there religious issues, religious questions in Christianity you would ask them about how their belief in the death penalty squares with their Christianity? I mean, I guess what I'm wondering is, what are some of the theological dimensions of this question that people should be thinking about, and perhaps specifically within the Christian tradition? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for the question.
Okay, well, thank you for that question. It's a terribly important question because Christians, of course, disagree about the death penalty. I think one of the basic underlying issues that often is not confronted in this discussion is the fact that the Bible, the scriptures of the First and Second Testaments, the Old and New Testaments in Hebrew and Greek, seem to support the death penalty. So the issue will often become whether the controlling concern is an appeal to the Bible or whether the controlling concern is an appeal to the spirit of Jesus, who most of us believe spoke against violence of any kind, including the taking of human life. So I think that's one of the basic questions. I think most of the churches have taken a stand in opposition to the death penalty. We often try to help people appreciate their own church's position on this matter, too. But we certainly respect the fact that other Christians disagree with us on this matter.
Now, when you say, Professor Towne, that the Bible supports the death penalty, the Bible is this collection of all these different books from, you know, over a 1,000-year period and coming out of many different situations. In what way does the Bible as a whole support the death penalty?
Well, there's quite a bit of violence in the First Testament in regard to any number of events there, and violence is often attributed to God's self, so that there seems to be a support of the use of violence for the purposes that God wills, in the First Testament at least. And some find that also in the Second Testament, the Greek Testament also.
And you make a distinction between that and, did you say the character of Jesus, the message of Jesus?
Well, you'll recall that, yes, I think I don't think there was any, can be asserted any appeal to violence by Jesus. And I simply remind us that when Jesus was apprehended in the Garden of Gethsemane and was pointed out by Judas to be the person who he wanted to betray, somebody in Jesus' company, someone with him, maybe one of the disciples or someone, took a sword and injured an official of the group that was coming to arrest Jesus. And Jesus condemned that act, and in fact he said in one report in one of the Gospels, "No more of this," which I take to mean a pretty clear indication that Jesus did not condone violence of any kind.
Let me take a moment to reintroduce our guest. We're talking on Keeping the Faith this afternoon with Professor Edgar Towne by phone in Indianapolis. He is a member of the movement in the state of Indiana to abolish capital punishment, to abolish the death penalty. And if listeners would like to join the conversation, make a comment or question, explain a different perspective, please give us a call. 1-800-222-9455 is the toll-free number if it's a long-distance call to our studio here in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, do use a local line, 333-9455. Ed, tell us a little bit about some of the successes your group has had so far.
Well, I don't think we feel we have been overly successful in any respect. We're still struggling to educate the community, although we do feel that we have had a significant influence in several events that we have sponsored. For example, we have mounted art exhibits of artworks that have been created by inmates on the death rows in Indiana. There are two death rows in Indiana. One is the federal death row in Terre Haute, on the up next against your state, and there's the state death row at Michigan City, Indiana, in Lake County. We have an exhibit of the artworks of Zolo Azania mounted at Christian Theological Seminary here in Indianapolis in the exhibit room 164 in the center of the building. and that will be up during June and July of this month. We have mounted an exhibit of the works of art of inmates on both the federal and the state death rows last year in November here. We mounted that exhibit also here at Christian Theological Seminary, and that art exhibit has circulated at Franklin College, DePauw University, and Notre Dame University here in the state of Indiana. And we also mounted a similar exhibition the year before. So the last 3 years we have mounted exhibitions of art by men on death row.
We have another caller waiting on our toll-free line on line number 4. You're on the air with our guest, Edgar Towne. Go ahead, please.
Yes, thank you for your guest today. I'm a member of the Bloomington Normal Coalition for the Abolition of Capital Punishment. And, you know, I just always think of one thing. Jesus said, thou shalt not kill, didn't he? That seems simple enough to me. But I've been reading the Tribune for the last year, has researched some of these cases. And the most recent one was, I don't know if you're familiar with that, maybe make a clear to make a comment on that, this DeLuna case in Texas. I don't know that they have definitely proven that that was a wrongful death or not, but he was killed. In the state of Illinois, that is listed as a felony death.
You mean the execution or the murder?
Yeah. When an execution, it's I don't know.
Oh, you're saying that technically the execution would meet the requirements of a felony?
Well, it's listed as a. Is it felony or what's the other one? It's listed. It's not listed as an execution. It's listed. Has to be listed as a. As a. I'm sorry that I'm losing what I wanted to say, but it's. It is not listed as execution. It's listed as a. Death by felony or.
I see.
What would be the other word I would want to use?
Well, our statute talks about aggravating circumstances.
No, this is it's listed. I'm sorry, I've lost what I wanted to say, but it's listed as a homicide.
Yes,
the state of Illinois, an execution is listed as a homicide on the official state books.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, I guess they your state, like our state, doesn't seem to worry about that.
No, no, in spite of it. But are you familiar with this DeLuna case?
No, I'm not familiar with the name. I've heard of it, but I'm really not qualified to talk about it.
Okay. The Tribune, I think, has done really an excellent job recently in dredging up some of these cases, wrongful death or wrongful convictions, and putting them in the paper. I've been very pleased to follow that.
Well, thank you very much for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
For your work.
Thank you for your work, too.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
And she was from the Bloomington Normal, Illinois group to abolish the death penalty.
Well, they would be a group, for example, that would have, if they were in Indiana, would have at-large membership on our board of directors. Mm-hmm. And we have... an early group since the early 1990s here in Indiana who were working against the death penalty is the Bloomington Coalition Against the Death Penalty. But our Bloomington is Bloomington, Indiana, which is the seat of Indiana University.
We're about halfway through our Keeping the Faith program this afternoon here on WILL AM 580. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs. Our guest today is Professor Edgar Towne, who is Professor Emeritus of Theology and Ethics at Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis. We'll be getting back with Professor Towne in just a moment to continue our discussion of the movement to abolish the death penalty in the state of Indiana. He's on the board of the Indiana Interfaith Center for the Abolishment of Capital Punishment. Coming up next week on Keeping the Faith, we'll be talking with a microbiologist from the University of Illinois, Professor Abigail Salyers. The topic will be digging up viruses from the past. That's July 9 here on WILL. On July 16, our guest will be Reverend Tim Halder, who is one of the creators of a hip-hop mass. We'll be talking by phone with Reverend Halder about that. On July 23rd, Don Nolan will be our guest host, talking with Eric Elness about Crosswalk America, a movement to publicize progressive Christianity. Reverend Nelson Cuervas will be our guest on July 30th. Those are some of the programs coming up here on Keeping the Faith. Support for these programs is provided in part by the University YMCA at the University of Illinois. I'm the executive director of the Y, and it's the oldest charity at the university, started 133 years ago by students, and since that time has been providing opportunities for students to be involved in social action and community service. The University Y, as a campus Y, does not have a pool or a gym or a fitness center, like many people would expect, but instead provides opportunities for public service for students and others at the university. The Y is a co-sponsor of the Whirlwind Project here in Champaign-Urbana, and for people in this area, there's a poetry slam coming up that's sponsored by this interfaith group. It'll be at the Douglas Branch Library, July 8 at 2 o'clock. That's a Saturday. And people will be participating in this very lively form of a poetry reading called a poetry slam. Again, July 8, 2 in the afternoon, Saturday afternoon, at Douglas Branch Library. And then the following week, July 16, on a Sunday at 2, there's a picnic theater in the park, sacred stories from many different religious traditions that deal with the issue of neighbors. Neighbors is the theme for the Whirlwind Project this year. That'll be in Crystal Lake Park, July 16 at 2 o'clock. I mentioned the University Y is a supporter of this Keeping the Faith program. And as a charity, it continues because of the generosity of many people. One way that happens is with people who donate vehicles to the Y. We have a vehicle donation program, a car, a truck, even a motorcycle. We had a boat that was donated this summer that we've already sold to someone who likes to fish. So if you have a vehicle you'd like to donate, do give me a call, Steve Shoemaker. That's at the University YMCA, 217-337-1500. 337-1500. And, of course, people who donate a vehicle may take a charitable deduction on their income tax based on the amount we can sell that vehicle for. So it helps the Y and helps the donor as well. We also have a huge dump and run auction coming, or not auction, but sale coming up, a big yard sale, garage sale. It's in the Stock Pavilion of the university, and it's coming up in August, from August 24 to 26. And if people would like to donate items, the week before, we'll be accepting items at the Stock Pavilion, and people can bring furniture and kitchenware and clothes and all sorts of things that week before for that sale. We're also having a sale of children's items this July 18, a Saturday, July 18 in the morning from 8 to 12, and that'll be at the Y, 1001 South Wright Street, the children's toys, children's clothes sale, July 18 from 8 in the morning till noon at the Y. If you have questions, do give us a call, 217-337-1500. Coming up on WILL this next week, some items of particular interest to people who enjoy what we talk about here on Keeping the Faith. On July 4th, the Tuskegee Airmen were visiting in this area in June and earlier, and at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, July 4th, that speech will be broadcast here on WILL. So a little bit after 10, the Tuskegee Airmen, July 4th. And on Friday, on Focus 580, at 10 o'clock, David Inge will be talking with Robert Pennock from Michigan State University about the Tower of Babel, the collapsing tower of intelligent design creationism. Should be an interesting program this coming Friday, the 7th of July, on Focus 580, a little bit after 10. And the Afternoon Magazine this July 4th, also at 2 o'clock, will be featuring some interviews done by university high school students with members of the local Jewish community about the 20th century Exodus, the triumphant life and journey of the Jewish in our community. That's 2 o'clock, July 4, here on WILL AM 580. Well, let's get back to our topic for today. We're talking with Professor Edgar Tan by phone from Indianapolis, and I want to thank you for spending this time with us, Ed. We're talking about the movement in Indiana to abolish capital punishment. And again, callers who'd like to join the conversation, 333-9455. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, if it's a long-distance call, 1-800-222-9455. This is a live program here on Sunday evening. Well, let's talk a little bit about the interfaith nature of this. Now, you come from a Christian perspective, and as a professor at a seminary, the seminary that where you've taught for 25 years is a Disciples of Christ denomination. Is that accurate?
Yes, it is. That's right.
But it's also open to people of many different faiths and traditions. You have a pretty diverse student body, don't you?
We have a very diverse student body, both in terms of faith traditions represented in it and in terms of age. So that it's been a very exciting place to teach and a place where I felt really free to be an inquirer about these matters.
Now, it's a Disciples of Christ seminary, and so there would be many students there who would go on to be pastors, leaders, educators within the Christian church denomination, but you yourself are of a different denomination.
Yes, I'm a Presbyterian.
And so there'd be other Protestants there. Are there also Catholics?
Oh, yes, a great many Catholics or students at the seminary. And Catholics who are Eucharistic ministers, many women who do this work, parish administrators, and other Christian educators. Mm-hmm. That's been a strong component of our student body.
Now, you mentioned some of the art exhibits by death row inmates that have been held there at the seminary. And that is an unusual thing for a seminary to do, isn't it, to focus on or to provide opportunities for an art exhibit?
Well, the seminary has always been interested in the arts in relationship to faith, and it's just simply a natural thing for the seminary to welcome an exhibit of this type on the seminary grounds. We've always had an exhibition area, which is very attractive and adequate. And there's a great deal of artwork through the seminary. We benefited by our benefactors in this way, and we have a program on theology and the arts represented in our faculty appointments.
You're located fairly close to the Indiana art museum as well.
That's right.
Tell people who may not know where the seminary is, its address.
Well, Michigan Road comes into Indiana from the northwest, and at 38th Street, Indianapolis Museum of Art is a marvelous area there. And that's just across Michigan Road from our campus, which includes on 42nd Street, just a few blocks north of 38th, which includes the Inner Church Center, which houses the offices of several denominations and other public service agencies in the city. And we're next to Butler University, just north of one of the largest cemeteries within city bounds in the United States, Crown Hill Cemetery.
Now, if people would like to see the exhibit that's at Christian Theological Seminary of art produced by inmates on death row that's there this month, what hours would they be able to visit the seminary and see that?
Well, they would. The exhibit is open. I would suggest hours between 9 o'clock and 4 or 5 in the afternoon, when the seminary buildings are open.
Monday through Friday.
Yeah, Monday through Friday. We shut down a little earlier on Fridays at 4.
Okay. And it's free. Anybody.
It's free.
There is free parking too.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of parking. Nice. The exhibit is in the center of the building on the ground floor, in room 164.
And as you say, there are many works of art exhibited at the seminary, and it's an unusual and very attractive setting. The seminary itself is well worth visiting, and I know many people in Indiana appreciate good architecture, good contemporary architecture. And
it's a beautiful campus.
A wonderful
it
campus.
Overlooks the White River and the Indianapolis Water Company Canal, and has art exhibited in every classroom and in other rooms of the building.
Now, are there any things particularly noteworthy about the art produced by admitted amateurs who happen to end up on death row that you've chosen for this exhibit?
Well, the art that has been displayed in both of these exhibits I've mentioned has been of extremely high quality. It's really remarkable, and many of these men have learned their artist craft while they were in the penitentiary, and have benefited from courses they've taken there. This was true of Zolo, but Zolo worked primarily, I think, exclusively in oils. Other artists worked in acrylics, and worked with whatever type of medium they had at hand, some with crayons, some in pencil drawings, some in watercolors. But I kid you not, these exhibits present works of extremely high quality and will certainly benefit anyone taking the time to examine them.
Now, you were in the pastorate in Chicago on the south side of the city in Hyde Park before coming to the seminary. What in your pastoral experience do you bring to this concern about abolishing the death penalty?
Well, I've always been an opponent of the death penalty, because I take the taking of human life in any manner very seriously. And I think while I was at the Hyde Park Union Church, we always had a very active Committee on Social Action functioning in the congregation, and people in the congregation that wanted to hear sermons that dealt with issues of public affairs. And so I simply carried my interest that was developed there into my teaching and work down here in Indianapolis. We also had an annual art exhibit at Hyde Park Union Church. I have some works hanging in my home now that families have given me, of members that had produced these works of art. So it's a matter of continuity.
How old were you, Ed, when you developed this concern about this particular issue? Was this something that happened to you after you became a pastor, or was this an issue you were concerned about earlier in your life?
No, I think that I came to it over the course of my theological education and my pastorates I've had in West Virginia as well as in Chicago.
Where did you grow up?
Oh, I grew up in upstate New York in Chautauqua County, which is the westernmost county in New York State. Our northern border was Lake Erie.
Where did you go to college?
I went to college at the College of Worcester in Worcester, Ohio. And then I went to seminary at Pittsburgh Seminary in Pittsburgh. And from my pastorate in West Virginia, which was in a mining community, I then left there to enter a graduate study at the University of Chicago.
Now, some of your interests in terms of theology, I know are things like process theology and some things that are very abstract. The concern about capital punishment is very different from that. How do you combine the two in your thinking?
Well, your faith ought to play out in life. During the 60s, my wife Marion and I and our young children were active in the protest movements, the peace movement during the Vietnam War period. We were active in interracial reconciliation efforts in those days. And it's always been a natural part of my faith to think in terms of public issues and justice issues and peace issues.
When you say your faith should play out in your life, what are some of the things that you're proudest about as you look back on your involvement in these various issues?
Well, I'm proudest about these types of things, to tell you the truth. At I was teaching in a college in Ohio at the time of the Kent State shootings. And at the time, we were vigorously protesting those events. We had sit-ins. We had a faculty group that was active protesting that event and the war. I was the faculty advisor to the peace group on the Finley College campus, and have maintained friendship with students in that group ever since those days back in the 1960s. And those are the kind of concerns that I've always had.
Now, Catholic theologians, as you know, often use the analogy of a seamless garment when they talk about issues of peace and issues of supporting life. As a Protestant ethicist, Where do you draw the line? Are you always against any kind of violence? Are you a pure pacifist? How would you describe yourself?
I guess I can't say I'm a pure pacifist because I wouldn't be. I may not be able to live up to that kind of a definition of myself. I certainly supported World War II and was active in a civilian defense unit at that time. But I do not support violence, and I do not believe violence of any kind can be justified. And if violence were enacted, I would say there might be good reasons for it, but I would not be able to justify it morally. And I certainly do not believe that God has ever justified violence of any kind in any circumstance. I have to believe that God is a morally perfect individual who wills that we always act nonviolently and compassionately with regard to other persons.
And in terms of the biblical witness, which before you described as seeming to contradict that, how do you bring that together in your own theology?
Well, I have to account for it by saying that it is we human beings who are in process of apprehending more fully the perfection and love of God. And we are called to enact in our lives what we believe is the will of God as revealed in the life of Jesus. And that life, it seems to me, requires us to be nonviolent and be compassionate and to affirm or to stand up to either our nation or to other individuals when they urge us to act in ways contrary to that.
We're moving toward the end of this program. Let's give some information again for people who might like to be involved in the movement in Indiana to abolish capital punishment. You're part of this interfaith group. Tell us again how people could come to a meeting or learn more about it or ask questions if they'd like to after this program.
Our meetings are held on the second Saturday of the month at the American Civil Liberties Union of Indiana building, 1031 East Washington Street in Indianapolis. Those meetings are at 1 p.m., and we can also be reached by mail at that address. That will be our new mailing address also.
That's at 1031 East Washington Street, Indianapolis, Indiana. Do you know the zip code by chance?
That's what I'm puzzled about. I don't have it.
Don't have that. Okay.
Disposal here.
That's fine. If people wanted to contact you personally, is there a way they could do that?
Yes, we can be contacted by email at info@IICACP.org. And we can
give us those initials one more time. Info at
IICACP.org.
Very good. We're talking with Edgar Towne, who is a professor emeritus from Christian Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, about the movement to abolish the death penalty and capital punishment in Indiana. He's also been telling us about an art exhibit, particularly by one inmate at the Michigan City death row. Tell us that person's name again, Zolo?
Zolo Agona Azania.
And his art is currently on display at Christian Theological Seminary and can be seen between the hours of 9 and 4, Monday through Friday. Is that during this month, Ed?
Yes, we believe it will be up the remainder of the month, yes.
And you mentioned also some of the other programs, some of the other things that are available from your group, a newsletter, for example?
We have a newsletter called The Indiana Abolitionist. We have our annual meetings are held in November, and in our annual meeting next November, on November 11th, I believe, at Christian Theological Seminary, our speaker will be Sister Helen Prejean, who has done such wonderful work with persons on death rows and has written the marvelous book, Dead Man Walking.
From which the movie was made, yes,
yes,
of that title. And that'll be next November. And you do have monthly protests, you said, at
the
State
House.
We have
monthly protests the third Thursday of the month from 12:30 p.m. to 1:30 p.m. on the east steps of the State Capitol building, State House building in Indianapolis, on Capitol Avenue and Market.
Well, let me thank our guest today, Professor Edgar Towne, for being with us on Keeping the Faith, and also to the callers who raised important questions and issues. Coming up in future Keeping the Faith programs here at 5 o'clock, that's Illinois time, 6 o'clock in the summer for Indiana. Next week, we'll be talking with Professor Abigail Salyers, who is a professor of microbiology here at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. She'll be talking about digging up viruses from the past. Professor Salyers is a former president of the National Association for American Society of Microbiology. Coming up on July 16, we'll have a very interesting program with Tim Holder, who is a creator of the Hip Hop Mass. Crosswalk America will be the theme of July 23rd program here. Eric Elness will be talking about his walk from across this country to Washington, D.C. on behalf of progressive Christianity. And Reverend Nelson Cuervas will be our guest on July 30. My name is Steve Shoemaker. I'm the usual host for these programs, and I'm the executive director of the University YMCA at the University of Illinois, which supports these Keeping the Faith programs live Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock. Thank you for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, the production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
The news from the Middle East is often dire. Kidnappings, suicide bombings, insurgency. Add to the list a bit of good news, a beauty academy. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time, under the best of our knowledge, how beauty salons in Kabul are flourishing, and a new beauty school just might be saving women's lives. It's to the best of our knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
Tonight at 7 here on WILL Urbana.
WILL programming is funded in part by a grant from TK Service Center, 806 Perkins Road in Urbana, offering automotive repair on cars and trucks by ASE-certified technicians. In business since 1984, they perform computerized engine diagnostics, alignments, brake, suspension, preventative maintenance, and other repairs. A shuttle service for customers is also available, 344-0800 or on the web at tkservicecenter.com.
Tonight in Champaign-Urbana, partly cloudy with isolated thunderstorms this evening, then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after midnight. The low around 70 degrees with southwest winds around 10 miles per hour this evening, becoming light. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high in the lower 90s with southwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, showers and thunderstorms likely, the low in the upper 60s. It's 6 p.m. This American Life is next.